Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oklahoma wideout D.D. Westbrook filling the vacancy created by former Sooner and current Giant Sterling Shepard quite nicely. When you watch him, what stands out to you on film?
Jay, it stands out that he's the best receiver in America.
With the 110th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Jaguars select D.D. Westbrook, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
Fires the deep ball for Westbrook.
D.D. Westbrook back deep for the Sooners. He's from his own 29. Watch out. Westbrook. He's got great speed.
Deep, and Westbrook is open on the money. Touchdown. What an answer.
That is every safety's nightmare, being left one-on-one with the most dangerous wide receiver in college football.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, good morning, everybody. We made it to Friday, Tony. We made it to less than a week from the NFL draft.
We will be praising
or panning the pick next week. Or maybe picks. Who knows? Maybe they're aggressive. Maybe they move back up into the first round. Maybe they get a steal next week, like D.D. Westbrook turned out to be in the later rounds for whatever reason. We'll take that. So welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Good Friday to you, if you are so inclined to celebrate that way. We're here, like we said, less than a week from the NFL draft, ready to go, ready to look at some different angles today. I'm tired of hearing the same four or five names connected with the Jaguars, Tony. Not that they're necessarily the wrong names to be connected with them. I'm just tired of it, right? With less than a week to go, let's get a little variety into our analysis. We'll try to do that a little bit today. We had our poll out there yesterday about the schedule. Pretty much held true to form. In fact, probably tightened up the lead, did the first quarter of the season, which quarter of the Jaguars' 2019 schedule looks the toughest on paper. 72% of people responding to the poll yesterday went with the first quarter of the season. Kansas City at Houston, Tennessee, and then at Denver. 19% went with the final quarter of the season, where you have the Chargers, you're at Oakland, at Atlanta, and then Indianapolis at home. 5% went with the third quarter when you play, even though it's technically a home game, it's in London, you play Houston, Indy, and Tennessee back-to-back-to-back, all outside of Jacksonville, and then Tampa Bay comes in, and only 4% of the people out there think that the Saints portion of the schedule, at Carolina, New Orleans coming here, at Cincy, and the Jets will be the toughest when it's all said and done. So, as we said multiple times yesterday, nothing we think, any of us think right now, really matters. See what Vic Fangio talked about yesterday when the Denver schedule came out? It's like, man, I look at maybe week one and two, and that's it. Because who knows? You play a team in week six, they could be in the middle of a red-hot streak. They could be really injured. You could be really injured. They could be in a slump. All kinds of permutations out there. There's really no sense in worrying about it.
No. And look, I totally agree with them. There's really no sense in worrying about it, but we do our yearly exercise of what it's going to look like.
Instant reaction.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with either side of it, but NFL teams, absolutely. Why would you be looking anything beyond week one, honestly? And whoever you're going to be playing that week, I don't see a reason to look much past that. And for Jacksonville, maybe even more so, given how difficult the opponent is week one, that you're getting to start at home, and given the caliber of football player that may or may not be available to the Kansas City Chiefs that week too, which is going to be news that we're going to be watching week by week over the course of the next few months as to whether Tyreek Hill is going to be playing football for the Chiefs.
If he's not, like if we found out tomorrow that Tyreek Hill is suspended for at least the first week of the season, how much do you think that would change people's perceptions? They'd still have Patrick Mahomes. They'd still have Travis Kelce.
Sure.
We stole Chris Conley though, baby. Right?
They gave away all the secrets.
They had no Kareem Hunt anymore.
Yeah.
I wonder, that's a potentially huge factor. Even though Jalen Ramsey only thinks Tyreek Hill is a big impact guy on
specialist.
Special teams. Right. It's a specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's a defense that's in transition too.
Oh, their defense could be horrible.
And they found a way last year to get off the field a ton on third downs early, and they just blitz teams. With
Deep
how good their
Justin
offense
Houston,
was.
Justin Houston, gone.
Right. With how good that offense was, you went three and out twice, you look up, you're down 17-0, ball game's over. Right? Like, that's how it felt like the Chiefs were winning football games consistently last year. Well, you know, I think Tyreek Hill not being a part of it is a big part of what they do offensively to threaten you and keep that field stretched. No one else can stretch it, maybe in the league, like Tyreek Hill.
He is the biggest, I think, offensive skill threat, certainly at wide receiver right now, because he has the ability to take it on a handoff, on a reverse. He has the ability to line up in the backfield.
Sure.
And either catch it out of the backfield or run it like a running back. He has the ability to beat you deep, obviously, and, you know, you've got to back off him a little bit because of that speed. So he has the ability to take a short pass and make you look silly. If he makes you miss, he may be the most dangerous, maybe not the best receiver. I don't know if he has the best hands
right.
out of anybody, but he's certainly in the conversation in
the
terms
way he
of
gets
playmakers
used.
At receiver.
Yeah, the way he gets used is different than anybody else in the league, and he does it at a higher level.
Now look, would I rather
else.
Have him or Saquon Barkley? I'd probably rather have Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have it in his hands on average a lot more
sure.
than Tyreek Hill.
Or if I'd rather have him or Antonio Brown, I'd probably rather have Antonio Brown, but I can understand
That's
there being an argument.
Though. I
right.
think it is becoming a little bit debatable, and I'd probably go with you ultimately. You give Antonio Brown credit for what he's been able to compile, you know,
yeah.
numbers-wise, and we'll see, you know, playing with a different quarterback this year, but that doesn't change the nature of who he is. You know, if Tyreek Hill were playing, you know, put it this way. If Antonio Brown were playing with Patrick Mahomes, he'd put up some staggering numbers, wouldn't
yeah, he? Yeah, I would assume that he would. And it's, you know, we got a long time to get into the week one matchup, but it's going to be an interesting test for a team.
No,
that,
we'll break it down now.
Right. It's going to be an interesting test for a team where the last couple seasons, when they've gone up against the premier tight end, it's basically been, all right, T-Gip, that's you.
Right.
And T-Gip's not here. So what is the plan going to be? How much does it change for them how they want to defend these kind of teams that do have that kind of tight end, which obviously Travis Kelce would qualify as that kind of tight end? How do they want to approach defending that?
According to Neil Nakahodo and Brooke Pryor, the Kansas City Star, the NFL sent a letter on March 12 seeking information regarding, quote, recent child abuse complaints involving the parents Crystal Espinal and Tyreek Hill as it relates to alleged injuries sustained by the couple's minor child. Now, that letter was came in between a pair of police reports regarding the situation. The first report came out on March 5th. The second was dated March 14th. So they're obviously looking into this,
yeah.
you know, and we don't know where it's going to go. But certainly the possibility that Tyreek Hill, for stuff that's already been done, could be missing in week one is very realistic at this point.
Absolutely.
In time. Look, it's you could point to the Jags and say, last year, Marquise Lee tore his ACL. You don't know. Well, that's right. But anyone could do that, right, on any team. I don't think there's any greater chance that happens to the Jags than any other early season opponents. But we know that Tyreek Hill could be in hot water. He's certainly under more scrutiny
sure.
right now.
And I'll reiterate what I said at the time when this whole story broke in March. Look, if Tyreek Hill broke his kid's arm, I don't care if he ever plays another snap.
I'm
league.
With you.
I don't care.
I am 100% with you, right? I mean, you can't hit kids.
No.
You can't, to that, look, people are like, oh, you got to be able to discipline your kids. Breaking a kid's arm is not discipline.
No.
Right? That's
abuse.
Abuse. Thank you. That's the simple word for it. All right. So today, we move on from yesterday's poll, and we ask you today to dig a little bit deeper than we've been doing. We'll come back. We'll set the table for what we feel are kind of the baseline of who the players are that get eliminated in today's question. The question of the day is, which somewhat under-the-radar draft prospect that is not frequently connected to the Jaguars do you think could end up actually being their pick with the 7th overall selection next week? In other words, who's that guy that we come in next Friday and we're like, they took who? They did what? I mean, that should maybe be on the radar, right? So we'll go through some of the candidates of who that could possibly be and who we would eliminate. Guys like TJ Hockenson, who frequently get connected as a potential mm-hmm. Jacksonville Jaguar, would not fit that definition. We're looking to expand outside the usual suspects. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, ET here with you. We're over at 1010XL World Headquarters. You can hop on board on social media, on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, or on the phone lines or text line driven by Duval Ford at 641 1010. Come be a part of it. Final Friday before the 2019 NFL Draft. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Tony, I'll give you my off-season binge-watching update.
Okay.
All right, my wife and I made it through all, what was it, six seasons of The Americans, right, which one of my top five favorite shows of all time. She had never watched it, loved it. Made it through all six seasons, I think it was, of Justified, another one of my top five of all time. She had never watched it, loved it, although she wasn't happy about one thing that happened in the final episode, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
No, not
if you have six seasons to catch up with. Okay. So my all-time favorite show is The Shield.
Yeah.
I'm a big FX guy, as you might be able to. FX and AMC are my jams.
Seems to be, yes.
Yes. And I've got the box set, you know, of all the DVDs of The Shield. I've watched it, I don't know, four or five times all the way through myself. She's watched a little bit of an episode here or there, and
You're all starting the journey?
It's not for delicate sensibilities,
no,
necessarily. Like, we tried Deadwood. I gave her a shot. I said, do you want to try Deadwood? It's only three seasons. And I said, you're not going to like it. I said, you know, if you think there was some cussing in anything else you ever thought there was cussing in,
no,
you haven't seen Deadwood.
You haven't seen Deadwood.
Okay, but I'm doing, that's my, like, my own, like, when I'm, like, my wife's gone to bed or she's not home, and I'm like almost through season one again. I've watched Deadwood before. So we started the first two episodes of The Shield last night, and so far, I put it this way, she doesn't hate it. So I'm cautiously optimistic we can make it through.
There you go.
That's my jam right there, man.
I know The Shield's your deal.
I love that show.
Like Deadwood, which, as you know, I didn't watch until recently. I had never seen Deadwood. I had seen like parts and bits of episodes, that kind of thing, but I finally watched it through. I got to tell you, like, I get it. There's a lot of language in Deadwood. There certainly is.
Right.
It's the most language I've ever seen in a TV program. But it feels like if Shakespeare had a really dirty mouth, that's the way the cadence of it all feels to me.
Right.
It feels like that kind of talk, like
it
that
seems,
kind of rhythm.
It seems like it's real. Like,
yeah,
that's
it's
how
that
really
kind of rhythm
talk
to it. They just happen to be, you know, using very,
like, people call you like the things that, you know, they're the seven deadly words you can't say on radio.
Yeah.
They'll string off like five of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right in a sentence.
And it's,
and people don't even take offense. They're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just like saying, hey, bro. You know, hey, dude.
And I can tell you, it's the only show. And look, I'm an adult. I've watched plenty of rated R whatever, you know, like I've seen Goodfellas, all that kind of stuff. I've seen Bad Language before. It's very rare that they use the language in a way that actually makes me laugh. Like when they use a word and I'm like, like it actually made me chuckle how clever it kind of was to use a language. Deadwood did that a bunch. Like virtually every episode, someone would say something that would be so heinously funny to me. Like it was just, oh, that's ridiculous.
Usually it's Calamity Jane saying
Jane,
that kind of stuff.
Jane, yes.
She was high on the list. But it's cool because when we went to Yellowstone and did our Western trip a few years ago, we went to Deadwood, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And so we really saw, like, this is where they caught the guy who shot Wild Bill Hickok. And this is, you know, and we went to the cemetery. You see, it's like Wild Bill and Potato Johnny and Calamity Jane, right? Like, Potato Johnny was this old prospector who found this huge gold nugget, right? Just a huge nugget. And it kind of started the gold rush up in South Dakota, and he's buried next to some of the more prominent people. Now, back in Deadwood days, they didn't have, you know, the big stone markers.
No.
Cemetery. Boot Hill got moved up the hill. And it's truly up the hill, too. Like, in Deadwood, like, there's
that's
the downtown,
cool,
and then you got to walk up all these streets, up, and the cemetery's, like, at the very top of the town. It's a little tiny dot on the map. So, there you have it. Love it. here we go. Steven on Twitter says, from Deadwood, quote, I serve booze at my meetings. Yeah. They serve booze every second of the freaking day.
Oh, yeah.
In Deadwood. I mean, just like unbelievable how much alcoholism must have been rampant back
no
in
doubt.
The day. They were just either tougher or dumber people than we were back then. So anyway, those are some of my favorites. And I'm just taking advantage of the off season and pounding them into my brain while
heck
I possibly
yeah
can here. So there you have it. All right. Today's question, boy, I've seen some very intriguing answers to this, and I've seen some really crazy out of left field stuff that I don't know if people are truly looking at the parameters of the question. The question is, don't tell us a person who the Jags could possibly take at any point in the draft with the seventh pick in the draft. Did I write that in there? I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, the seventh overall selection. Give us an under-the-radar draft prospect that's not frequently connected to the Jaguars that you could see ending up as their pick with the seventh overall selection. So when you write a name and that name is in nobody's mock draft before pick, oh, I don't know, 60? I don't think that that's a likely thing, for instance. But who, Tony, like how deep do you need to go on the list of usual suspects to clear out before you get to who some of these prospects may be? Like, you have to determine who are the ones who are on the radar of the Jags, right?
Sure.
Juwan Taylor, maybe number one.
Juwan Taylor, certainly. TJ Hawkinson is a guy that's been attached to the Jags. Not so much recently, but over the course of this entire...
McShay just put him in the mock yesterday. They did the back-and-forth mock between he and Kuiper.
He had him go with Hawkinson?
He had him go to the Jags.
All right.
With the seventh pick. So you still see... Like, I would not put... Hawkinson would not be an out-of-left field one.
No,
right?
Not
There's
even
been
close.
Enough talked about.
Even not
if
even
it's,
close.
It's waned a little bit. I think Ed Oliver's picked up steam as well.
I do, too.
Prisco had him in a mock where he made the selection for the Jags at CBS. He had Ed Oliver as the pick there. I think Montez Sweat has been in the conversation for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't know. You look at... Like Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa's not going to make it to number 6.
No, and I think you can probably close to stop there as far as the usual suspects that
right?
are getting mocked to him. Because, look, the top three defensive linemen, if any of them fell to him and the Jaguars took him, it wouldn't be a surprise at all.
No, but at the same time, you don't see them connected to the Jags because...
They assume they're going to be gone before
right,
7.
Right, almost universally. Now, there are exceptions.
Sure, but if Quinnen Williams or, you know, if those guys were there to the Jags and they took him, it's not an out-of-left-field deal, right? Like, that's a, oh, okay, fell to him in the draft, they're taking him, makes complete and total sense.
Right.
That they'd be willing to pull the trigger on that. And if you assume those three guys are all going to go before they pick, and you assume Kyler Murray is going to be gone before they pick, right? So that's... Four guys, they're picking 7.
A month ago, Dwayne Haskins would have been one of the usual suspects, right?
Sure.
Now he would fit. Like, if you think they might actually take Dwayne Haskins, he would fit the answer to this question today.
Yeah.
Because at this point, you know, it's in NFL circles, that's a loosely defined term, but in NFL circles, it seems to be the feeling that Dwayne Haskins won't even be the second quarterback off the board now, right?
That's the way they're talking.
I would bet more people think that either or both of Drew Lock and Daniel Jones go ahead of Haskins. They may be wrong. Giants may be bluffing us all and maybe taking him at number 6. You know, Dave Gettleman yesterday said, you can't draft for need or you're going to screw yourself every time. Well, to some degree, okay, but at the same time, if look, I understand what the Cardinals are looking at right now, right? But if the Indianapolis Colts had the top pick in the draft, they would not be taking a quarterback even if they thought he was the best player in the draft. Now, maybe they'd be trading out of that spot. That's probably the more likely scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But if your pick comes up and you've got an established franchise quarterback who is in his 20s, let's say, like Kansas City, there's no way they're taking a quarterback no matter who is the highest-rated player on their board in the first round. Just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why would you do that? Why would you invest when you've got a superstar on the rise in Patrick Mahomes? So maybe quarterback is an exception to that rule in some people's minds. I remember one Jaguar draft luncheon, which you usually don't get many useful nuggets out of, and understandably so, because what are they going to tell you? Well, here's our board, right? I mean, they're not going to tell you who they're going to pick or how they rank players. They'll give you an idea about the relative strengths of the positions. We think there's a lot of talent, a lot of depth at offensive line or wherever. But the year after they took Leftwich, I'm pretty sure at that next draft luncheon that was like, is everything still on the board for the Jaguars other than quarterback? They said, yeah, you know, obviously I'm taking specialists out of it, you
mm-hmm.
know, offense and defensive starting positions that they admitted that, no, we would not take a first-round quarterback. We just invested in one, and, you know, you go back in time and you go, oh, well, you know, who knew? I mean, you know, it's hard to do, man. It really is, right? Especially when you don't turn over the front office. You know, you did keep the GM in Arizona, but you got a new head coach with a new offensive system who had already been on record saying that Kyler Murray is like the perfect fit for what he likes to do. So with the Jags, when they drafted Leftwich, and they come back the next year, nothing changed, right? That'd be like Shaq Harris and company going, you know, we screwed this up. So let's take Roethlisberger because Byron's just not going to be as good as we thought he would turn
out. Most NFL teams aren't going to do that. Most NFL teams aren't the Arizona Cardinals, apparently, if they do indeed draft Kyler Murray.
But
with
it is
the
a little unique
pick.
The way, you know, Kingsbury Absolutely. Came in.
Oh, it's a unique circumstance. There's no doubt about that. And I think, look, I get it from Gettleman's perspective, talking about, you know, you don't draft for need. It's okay if the need meets the value or at least close enough to it, right? I think the Jaguars are in a bit of a different spot because, yeah, they could use a tight end and they could use a right tackle, but they don't need either, right? It's not like we can't play football tomorrow unless we draft a tight end. They can play with what they have. They can play with what they have at right tackle. It's not going to be at a high level. I totally get that. But they are in a position, they are at least in a position where if they just rank all the prospects in this draft, the highest ranked guy on their board is a viable pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year, whether that's a defensive lineman, tight end, offensive lineman, however they feel about any of those guys. They don't have to draft anything because we have to have this right now. They can take whatever's available.
My guess, too, is that you know, you and I, if that pertained to quarterback, would still take the quarterback there. But
totally,
when you heard as many comments yesterday about how Nick Foles was the whole plan this offseason, right? It's not like you do this in a vacuum. You know, you're Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, you're evaluating prospects with your scouting department, and you're saying, well, here's what's coming out, or we could go the Nick Foles route. Nick Foles clearly our top option here. That indicates to me that they maybe not as enamored with some of these quarterbacks.
Sure.
Right? Yesterday, Shad Khan, courtesy of Philip Heilman, the Florida Times Union, was quoted as saying that all of our weaknesses have been addressed this offseason. In the sense that, okay, we need a tight end, we got Jeff Swaim. Well, mm-hmm. Is that high-level addressing? Maybe not,
no.
Right? But it's kind of like when they went out and they signed Trey Thomas. I think it was the year they drafted Eugene Monroe, right? They signed Trey Thomas, and you're like, okay, if the right tackle falls to them, we'll go ahead and take him. Not a right tackle, but the correct tackle, correct offensive tackle falls to them. We're open for business, but we don't have to force the pick if the guy we're selecting we feel doesn't meet the criteria of being the best available out there, right? And whereas they bring in all these different guys – who are potential right tackles for this football team, you know, and you can look at them and say, oh, none of them are any good. Well, that's your prerogative to do that, but they did address the position. They brought in bodies for competition
at the
very least. So, you know, there are things like that. Obviously, they addressed quarterback. So I think what he's saying is simply that, you know, we're, like you said, whoever the top of our list guy is will fit in with the current roster composition. 641-1010 if you want to get in. So we'll take Ed Oliver, we'll take Montez Sweat, we will take TJ Hawkins, and we'll take Juwan Taylor off the board. We'll start looking at some of the prospects we're talking about here. Which are the types? We'll go through a typical first-round mock, and how many of these guys could you potentially see if they were available for the Jags being that selection at number 7?
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking crazy, you know, again, Nick Bosa's not going to be there with the 7th pick in the draft. Would they take him? Absolutely they take Nick Bosa, in my opinion, but things like that. So we'll get into that coming up next. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go, 641-1010, if you want to get in on the conversation today, talking about who are the guys we're overlooking as potential 7th overall selections for the Jacksonville Jaguars, getting off some of the usual suspects a little bit today. Here's a few on the text line, Tony. One says that Josh Allen will fall, and that'd be outside the usual suspects. You know, there are all kinds of scenarios. People say, oh, there's no way he's going to fall. Well, you know, depends on what happens with the quarterback position. I would think for one of those 3 defensive linemen, Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, who are kind of consensus top 5 picks, to get to the Jags, there'd have to be at least a 2nd quarterback in the top 6.
I would think, yes.
You know, and at this point, I would bet against that being the case.
Maybe the Giants, maybe.
Maybe. At this point, I'm almost willing to bet that if Kyler Murray doesn't go to Arizona, I think there'd be more likely 0 quarterbacks taken before the Jags than there would be 2. But I do think Kyler Murray does end up going to Arizona.
I do too.
But ultimately, I don't think another quarterback goes in the next five picks at the moment. Now, it could change. Denver, somebody could trade up. Brian Burns, mentioned him, the Florida State pass rusher. Devin White or Devin Bush at pick number seven. Okay.
I saw Riddick had Devin Bush as like his favorite prospect in this draft.
Devin Bush?
Yeah.
The Michigan linebacker,
yeah.
Not the LSU linebacker, Devin White.
Yeah.
Easy to get him confused, at least for me. David Stevenson on Twitter says, draft Devin White, flip Telvin in the draft, question mark. Possibility. Apparently Hayes threw that out there yesterday on the Franchi show. Is Telvin on the trade block? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, do you want to pay? It's a tough decision, right? You only have so much money to pay these guys. Where's the money going to come from to pay Miles Jack if you pay Unique Ngakoue first, right? Could you see a scenario where, you know, what's Telvin scheduled to make this year? Over $10 million,
yeah,
right?
I'll pull it up here.
Seventh pick in the draft. We'll get a contract that he'd be yours for 4 years, probably for less than what Telvin's got for the next 2 years on his deal.
Would be pretty comfortable saying that, yes.
But this is just wild speculation now. No, but we're not, Tony and I are not sitting here reporting we expect this to happen, but let's play hypothetical.
Sure.
For a second. What would it take, kind of return would it take for you to give up on a player like Telvin Smith? Guess it depends on really what your evaluation of him is. Is he too much of a freelancer? Did he miss too many tackles? Did he miss too many assignments last year? You feel like if Miles Jack played weak side linebacker, he would star in that position, mm-hmm. right? So if you could slot in Devin White, it's not a great year for linebackers in the draft, right? The two Devins, White and Bush,
yep.
are the consensus guys that will go in round one. And unless you want to count like Bosa, who may go to a 3-4 defense and play outside linebacker, other than the edge rushers, no real true linebackers other than the two Devins may go in round one. Telvin Smith might be, for a team with cap space. Again, I'm not trying to push him out the door. I'm not suggesting this is likely to happen. We're just kind of playing some hypotheticals.
Sure.
Right here.
Yeah, 9.75 his base this year. Goes up to 10, then 10.25.
All right, so basically $30 million for the next 3 years.
Yep, right around there.
You'd get a four-year deal.
And it's the first year his contract's really hitting him because the last 2 years, I mean, last year it was $3 million.
Who went seventh overall? Doesn't Telvin have a big cap hit, though, dead cap hit, if you
– 13, yeah.
If you get rid of him. See, that's what, to me, it makes it unlikely
yeah.
that's going to happen, right? I mean, why take on an additional – I guess
yeah. His cap hit is 12. Yeah, his cap hit is 12.5. His dead cap is 13.4.
Oh, so it's only less than $1 million more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you know the cap hit is more important, I guess, than the salary. But in terms of structuring the roster, but still, who went seventh overall last year? I'm gonna have to look this up and see what they ended up getting, and that will you bump it up just a smidge, and that's what the seventh overall pick is gonna get this year. Josh Allen. Did. Does he get more because he's a quarterback? I'm not sure that he does. All right, so let me go to SpotTrack and see what kind of contract he had coming in. Let's see if I can dig this up.
The Telvin thing is interesting given to I can't get out of my head people that are around the organization talking about Telvin the way they have
yeah.
for the last year. Like, I just can't get it out of my head. And then with that going on, they're going to have to make a decision with Miles Jack. Right, and maybe his more natural position is outside linebacker. That might be a better spot for Miles when everything is said and done. After a year playing the mic where it was okay, but it certainly wasn't great from Miles in that spot. So maybe they do look at it and say he's better long-term as an outside linebacker for us. You have to make a decision with the money that you're paying Telvin. Are you going to pay Telvin and Miles Jack in the near future? Because you got to make that decision on Miles quickly.
How old's Telvin? Is he? He's 29?
I think he just turned 29.
Okay.
Just turned 29. And it's just the way some people were talking about Telvin
right.
last year. And then, look, I don't know if there's anything going on at all, but why isn't he here? And why is he not communicating with the team about why he's not here?
Right.
It's that on top of everything else that you hear about him is what is happening?
Right.
With Telvin
it doesn't
Smith?
Necessarily mean these pieces fit together
perfectly,
in a way that,
yeah.
right, that Telvin's, a candidate to be dealt, but
it's questions I didn't think I'd be asking a year ago.
That's fair. Josh Allen from the Bills last year got a four-year, $21 million contract, roughly. We'll call it 4 years, 22 for what the Jags are going to pay, right? You always get a little bump, you know, every year it grows. So let's call it $22 million over 4 years, whereas right now Telvin's cap hit is $12 million for 1 year, mm-hmm. right? For 2 years, the cap hit in 2 years, I would imagine, is greater than the entirety of the contract for whoever you select at number seven.
Yeah.
Now, that does for A, you don't know Devin White's going to be available, right? And for me, like, I'm Mr. Trader. I would be, at least I envision if I were an NFL GM that that's what I would be. And I would call all these teams and I would have a list. Like, all right, what's your interest level in Telvin Smith if we were to make him available under how, all these different scenarios? What would you be willing to give up? Loosely. Can't hold you to it, obviously, but you'd have an idea, right? So then if Devin White goes to the Bucs at five, maybe you're just like, you know, we're good. Or maybe they don't like Devin Bush as much or whatever, something like that. But if he were there, you don't have to scramble and get on the phone in a 10-minute period right. and start calling around like, hey, Telvin Smith's available. You want him? Telvin Smith's available. You want him? Do all that due diligence. I assume they do a lot of that. But I would have a book on everybody on my roster.
Absolutely.
For at least anyone that you think could bring in anything via a trade. You know, you're not going to – like Josh Wells is not – you know, guys right. like that. And
some of it's unnecessary.
Right. But frontline guys, starting caliber guys, hey – we may upgrade this position or go a different way in the draft for whatever combination of reasons. Would you be open to bringing this guy on board? And if so, what do you give us? Second round pick? You know, a second and a fourth?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, Telvin's been a Pro Bowler. He's been an All Pro. Wasn't he an All Pro?
I think he was just a Pro Bowler.
Was he just a Pro Bowler?
Yeah, I think he was just a Pro Bowler that year.
Not a second teamer, maybe?
I don't think he was. He might have been, though. It's tough, man, playing that weak side and not being a pass rush guy, it would be tough for him to make an All-Pro team, I would guess. But I think
true.
With speaking in the completely
no.
speculative.
Second team All-Pro.
There you go.
In 2017.
Speaking in the completely speculative here with what we're talking about with Telvin Smith, how would you feel? If we came out of day two of the NFL draft, they drafted Devin White, they trade Telvin Smith, and so Devin White and Miles Jack are going to be your two linebackers, and Telvin is gone.
But what do you get for Telvin? That's the part of the
I don't
equation.
Know.
Right.
I don't know what you're getting for Telvin
that's
Smith.
That's going to tell you how I feel, okay. though, right? Because I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You just replaced something you already had, basically, right? You had two what you feel are potentially high-performing linebackers, mm-hmm. and you still have that now. So what I need to know, what is Telvin Smith bringing me? It's not as attractive, by the way. You know, one of the reasons you'd say, well, why wouldn't a team want a guy who's all pro or second team all pro just 2 years ago? Well, they might, but they might not want to pay him, you know, $30 million over the next 3 years. So that's a factor
and
as well.
I continue to say, and we have people that are sending in linebacker as the surprise pick for the mm-hmm. Jags, and I get it. I'm not saying I don't think the Jags need some depth at the linebacker position. I think drafting one in the first couple rounds signals that Miles Jack or Telvin Smith is out of here. That's the way I look at it, is Miles Jack or Telvin Smith is out of here, and they're going to make the decision on which one of those guys it would be in the next year. Again, I get it. You're talking about Devin White as a, quote, two-down linebacker. Not really. Not in today's NFL. If he's a run-down linebacker, then he's playing one down out of three.
Right.
That's what he plays. I get it. He'd be first and second down if the other team's trying to run the ball.
If you're drafting him and keeping both Jack and Telvin.
Right.
That's not happening.
But to me, that's been the conversation all along has been, well, if you want Devin White, I get it. You want three linebackers the caliber of those guys. I understand the intrigue of that. One of them's playing a third of the snaps, and it's likely going to be the rookie if they're keeping all three of those guys, would be my guess, is the guy that's going to be playing a third of the snaps because he's the middle linebacker, and they'd move Miles and his athleticism back into the middle, at least on passing downs, would be my guess. But I think what you're really doing is signaling the end of one of those other two guys in Jacksonville, which I don't think it's a terrible idea or plan, but I hope people that are sending that in understand that's the direction that tells me they'd be going in, is Telvin or Miles is going to be gone.
Somebody says on Twitter, Bucks will take Devin White. And maybe. I mean, that's what everyone
thinks. They're
connected
to him a bunch, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But you can't know that, right? You just can't. I mean, it depends on so many different permutations. What if one of the pass rushers that they expect to be off the board is there, you know. Again, it's hypothetical, and we're not trying to push him out the door. It's just the way it is. Let's get a call in here at 641-1010. Gary, on the South Side wants to weigh in on the question of the day. Gary, who is the player under the radar that we're not talking about that could end up as the seventh pick for the Jags?
Good Friday. Happy Easter to you, Mike, Tony.
Thank you. Same to you.
I'd like to get my seventh pick, but first I'd like to say, you know, Tom Coughlin publicly calling out two players that, you know, is in the CBA, they don't have to be there. And they called me out. If I was Telvin or I was Jalen, I'd tell him he did more damage by extending Blake Bortles before he had to than
who would you tell that to? Well, who would you tell that to? I mean, it's the I don't know what the advantage to be gained. They're not going to – what are they going to hold a press conference and say – you know, they're not going to start a war of words with Tom Coughlin. I just think Tom – I don't doubt that every NFL executive feels that way. Right, coaches right. as well. I just think, you know, Doug Marrone's got it. Like, just, you know.
But publicly saying it, Mike, you didn't have to do it. You could do it privately.
Oh, I understand. That's why Tony and I said we were surprised that he went as far as he did. Yep. I mean, Doug Marrone, the way he did it, he said, look, I can only control things I can't control. These are voluntary. That's all I'm going to say about it. Boom.
Well, you know, and my guy is, and you said it already, Mike, would be Brian Burns. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Gary. A lot of people have suggested pass rushers. I mean, that's if you're going to consider Montez Sweat, I think Brian Burns is a guy you could reasonably say, hey, maybe they'll end up liking him more than Montez Sweat, mm-hmm. right? I mean, at least he's in that range
sure.
where, like, here's a seven-round mock from CBS. Got Brian Burns going 12th overall.
Yeah.
That's not much of a stretch to think he could end up in the top 10.
No, and I think he fits what we're asking today pretty perfectly. Right, the idea of a guy that we haven't talked about much, but it's not ridiculous. Like, if they called his name at seven, it's not a ridiculous thing.
Okay.
Yeah, be
I
like,
get it.
Oh, all right.
Pass rush. And they happen to like him more than Sweat or Rashawn Gary.
It's the pass rusher they like.
Right. That's the pass. Right. Because certainly we think defensive end is a possibility. Somebody mentioned LJ Collier, I think, out of TCU. See him mocked like middle of the second round.
Yeah.
It would definitely be a surprise.
That one would be a head scratch.
But I don't, you know, to me, like, just let's look through. I tell you what, we'll step aside because we're not going to have time to get through all these guys. We'll look through kind of like the first round
okay.
of the CBS mock and just go through names and you tell me yes or no. Does that fit the profile and would he be a candidate? I mean, most of them will end up fitting the profile because we're not talking about most of them, but would that be a realistic guy in your opinion that you could see them shocking people and pulling the trigger on?
Okay.
So we'll get into that as we go along today. 641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in. Anything you heard coming out of yesterday's State of the Franchise presentation by the Jacksonville Jaguars? One thing that did catch my ear, Tony, or really my eye, I guess, going back through some of the transcripts because we couldn't listen live, was when they talk about the timetable. I think this is Mark Lampig talking about the timetable. When you talk about shade in a stadium, is when you talk about a project like that, basically, we want to get about 5 years ahead of it, right? So I wonder how many people are coming out of it thinking, next year we're going to have shade in the stadium. You know what I mean? This seems like a more of a long-term, we've got a goal, we're going to work towards it,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't necessarily expect anything to be imminent on that. So the other one, you know, Shad Khan with the drones, right? Potentially using those. What could possibly go wrong with drones holding up some kind of awning, right? One or two drones go down, and Section 4 whatever is covered for half the
right.
third quarter. You know, people are baking under, I don't know. Look, you know, he said, I'm an engineer. This intrigues me because they're talking about doing this in Dubai for the World Cup in 2022, potentially using drones to hold up, like, temporary, like,
yep.
you know, call them temporary clouds or basically just something to block the sun is all it is, but not a permanent structure. It'd be more cost effective because in Shad Khan's mind, you wouldn't have to use it all season long. There'd be okay, you know, if it's an overcast day, not necessary. So there may be three or four games you'd have to do it. Would it be cost effective? It's something at least it's on the radar, something that's intriguing. I don't expect that to be the route that they go, but that shows you the level of creativity that they're
sure.
willing to explore, at least, to solve some of their problems. All right, we'll come back. This State in Football, the Roll and Reach Roll Around the National Football League. And, of course, if you want to get in and talk a little Jaguar football, particularly the upcoming NFL draft, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
4XL what? Tony, was that? Huh? All right, on this date in football history, I do not have a lot, but I've got a couple of birthdays of note. You can go back to the 1988 NFL draft. The 13th overall selection that year was Keith Jackson, the tight end out of Oklahoma, selected by Philadelphia. Went on to play with Miami and Green Bay as well. 54 years old today, Keith Jackson, a five-time Pro Bowler and a three-time first-team All-Pro. And Troy Polamalu, the 16th overall pick in 2003, an eight-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, the 2010 Associated Press Defensive Player of the Year, turns 38 years old today. I think 2014, so 15, 16, 17, 18. So next year he's eligible for the Hall of Fame, it looks like, right? So that'll they love Polamalu, man.
Eight Pro Bowls and four All-Pros.
He's going in.
That's right. That's first ballot.
He's going right to the front of the list, so there's one guy taking one of Tony Piselli's potential spots next year. And that's all I've got for you today on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Arizona quarterback Josh Rosen spoke yesterday for the first time since the real speculation that the team could draft Kyler Murray began. The team hasn't made Rosen available, but he made himself available during a trip to the Grand Canyon with some UCLA teammates, saying, quote, "It's annoying, but it is what it is. Football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. We won three games. Each of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl, and that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete." Doesn't sound like a guy who expects to be a part of the team that he's currently on next year. Detroit general manager Bob Quinn said yesterday that he believes a bunch of the players that declared for the NFL draft early got bad information on where they might get drafted, saying, quote, "We actually looked at this last week, looked at the entire list when it came out and where we had guys ranked, and unfortunately the way college football is going, these players are getting bad information about how high they might go, and it's not the college's fault. I think it's other people, family members, other influences in their career that are telling them, hey, go out early. So I think this year is going to be pretty interesting to sit back after the draft and kind of do the numbers and say how many juniors were picked in 2018 to compared to how many juniors were picked this year. It's probably going to be about the same number, if I were to guess, but you're going to have X amount of guys that aren't drafted, and now they're out of college eligibility, and now there's no AAF, so there's no other place to play, so where do these guys go?
Doesn't mean they're not going to play in the league just because they're not drafted.
Where do those other 40 guys go? I'm not sure.
I'm sure they go to training camp on the 90-man rosters of NFL teams.
At least get a shot.
Right? And probably a lot of those guys that don't get drafted probably were kind of feeling they wouldn't get drafted. But, you know, some guys just don't like school or they're failing out of school or whatever. And they just say, you know, enough is enough. Instead of toiling for ex-coach, I'm going to toil for my next coach and hopefully make some cash.
The Miami Dolphins have exercised the team's fifth-year option on offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil. No surprise there. The Carolina Panthers converted $9.05 million to linebacker Luke Kuechly's base salary into a bonus, freeing up $7.24 million in cap space for this season for the Panthers. A little more flexibility for them.
There you go. What's going on 6 days out from the start of the 2019 NFL draft. All right, let's run through what time we got here on the old clock is what they call that. Let's run through some names here of potential candidates that fit today's question.
Okay.
Guys are a little bit somewhat under the radar, not often connected with the Jags, and still could be the surprise pick at number seven. So again, we will we'll eliminate Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams.
Yes.
Because we feel more likely than not they're not going to be available. Although, yes, they would be a surprise. It would be because their availability more so than the fact that the Jags picked them if they're sitting there with the seventh pick. Rashawn Gary, to me, he would be a surprise. I just can't get over the idea of drafting a guy who had 3.5 sacks last year with the seventh pick in the draft. He's supposed to be an impact edge rusher. You know, good workout at the combine, all that. He's got great versatility, Tony. And people, how many people have gotten fired over the years drafting potential instead of performance?
Yeah, you know? I saw Riddick when he was going through his top five prospects in the draft, and he had Devin Bush, the linebacker out of Michigan, Rashawn Gary's teammate. They're number five. Rashawn Gary not on that list, and he actually was talking about it. He specifically talked about Rashawn Gary and said, "How does Bush have all this technique, all this stuff that he does so well, and Gary has none of it? Like, what is it, coaching or is it the player?" And he's like, "I'm guessing in this case, it's probably the player."
He's a freak athlete, basically, what
he was saying. So, I don't think it would be nuts if they took him. Like, it wouldn't come out of left field for me. It would surprise me because there are so many guys along that defensive line that I'm guessing would still be available to the Jags that I would rather have
right.
than Rashawn Gary.
One comment in this mock that had him going fourth to the Raiders. It's not like it'd be a surprise to see him go in the top 10, at least according to mock, if you believe mock drafts, which you do at your own peril. But it says he can play anywhere on the defensive line, but his quickness as an edge rusher could make him unblockable at the next level. So you tell me the guy who could only manage 3.5 sacks last year at Michigan, once he goes to the NFL, will become unblockable, right? What happened to the unblockable aspect of his game at the collegiate level, where you presume he's not going up against Pro Bowl or level players every week? So, I mean, could it make him unblockable? No, he'll be blocked. I mean, you know, I'm gonna, no, there's no one who's unblockable. And certainly Rashawn Gary is not the guy I would bet would fit that bill. All right, others here, Quinnen Williams, Juwan Taylor, Montez Sweat, we took him out. Hockenson, we took him out. Andre Dillard, when this particular mock goes ninth, I think that fits the category.
Sure.
Simply because Juwan Taylor is the most talked about offensive lineman.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, we went through that early in the week, the value of the left tackle position. And if he really is the best pass-blocking tackle in the draft, do you not have to consider that?
Sure.
At number seven. Drew Locke, we're going to take all the quarterbacks. I don't think any of the quarterbacks at seven are likely. Devin White, I think we would agree, fits this category.
Fits the category for sure.
Brian Burns fits the category.
Yep.
Ed Oliver goes 15th or 14th here to the Falcons in this mock. Wouldn't shock me at all if Ed Oliver's their pick.
Honestly, that's the guy I want.
I know. He's been growing in terms of how often mock drafters, what have you, connect him with the Jaguars. It's interesting. His range, you see him sneaking into the top five on occasion. And then you see him down in the mid-teens as well. That'll be an interesting one to follow. Jonah Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we don't know who they grade as the best.
Any of those top three offensive linemen wouldn't surprise me at all.
Cleveland Farrell, edge rusher out of Clemson. Absolutely.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, again, you know, we sit here just because some pundit likes Brian Burns or Montez Sweat more doesn't mean the Jags feel that way. Cody Ford. I think that'd be a little bit of a stretch. A little bit of a stretch. Now, if they think he is definitely a right tackle, okay, I could possibly see it. They're not going to draft Cody Ford and say, well, we can always kick him inside. They're set inside, at least in their mind. So that one would surprise me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that one would surprise me a little bit more than any of the other names.
Do you think there's
there.
Any chance any wide receiver could be the apple of their eye?
No.
The seventh pick. No chance.
No.
I think you're probably right.
I would be stunned. If they were picking seventh and took a wide receiver.
Instead of trading back.
Yeah. I would be stunned if they took a wide receiver. With the defensive linemen, we all know one of them, a handful of them are still going to be there. They're likely going to have their pick of the offensive linemen. They'd have their pick at tight end. If they took a wide receiver, I would be stunned.
Yeah, because it seems like at this point, more people think that it's more likely that you'd see three tight ends going round one than three wide receivers. Right?
Yeah.
So if only a couple wide receivers going round one, well, you may not get the absolute pick of the litter. It means you're going to get a top five guy at your second pick if you wanted to go that direction. Devin Bush, okay. I think it's much more likely that Devin White would be, but maybe Devin White goes to the Bucs. Could they go Devin Bush 4.4 speed in the 40?
Devin White would surprise me. That would be on the fringe of it to me. Like, I get it.
Sideline to sideline speed, wreaking havoc in the run game, rushing the passer, and smoothly dropping into coverage. That seems like a pretty complete scouting report anyway.
I don't expect linebacker to be the pick.
I don't either, but under the scenario we're talking about, that if you were planning on picking a guy and pairing him with Miles Jack for the future and moving Telvin for something, depending on what you could get for Telvin, I don't think you can write it off 100%. I think it's a low chance. Devin White's much more likely if they're both available sitting there. And they're, you know, probably greater than 50% of the scenarios indicate that they don't think Devin White will be there. Let's see. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle out of Clemson.
Sure. Like, I know we see him a whole lot more there in the middle of the round.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he's the defensive lineman they like the most, I don't expect that he would be, but if he was, okay.
Somebody submitted this on Twitter, I don't agree with it. Greedy Williams, the corner. I just can't see.
I can't see corner.
A corner. I'd see a wide receiver with the seventh pick before a cornerback.
I would too. Like, there's a reason that, despite the fact that you look at their front line defensive line, you're like, oh, they're good. They're good with those front line guys, right? There's a reason that there's still so much more value in a defensive lineman that gives you any kind of pass rush than there is. You'd be talking about your fourth corner. I mean, that's what you'd be talking about when you brought somebody else in. They are really, really good at cornerback. Like, they probably have the best trio in the National Football League.
I agree.
Right now.
Right. I mean, there may be a team out there that I'm not thinking of.
There may be teams that are close.
Yeah.
But I think any trio that you throw out there, I would argue the Jags against
any trio.
Right.
Jalen will be better than your best guy. Boye probably be better than your second best guy. There you go.
And DJ Hayden was really good when he played last year.
They were very happy with how he played last year.
So, yeah, I'd be really surprised.
Here's the one for me that this is the wild card because, again, this guy comes off the board. You even see him slide into the second round occasionally. What about Noah Fant? What if they think Noah Fant is a better offensive weapon for what they want to accomplish?
If tight end was the direction they wanted to go, Hockenson nor Fant would surprise me.
Right.
Honestly.
I mean, we're so fixated on Hockenson because we think with the Jags, talk of balance, they want to run, they want to pass, right? Hockenson gets much more in the way of plaudits for his run-blocking ability. You don't hear much at all about Noah Fant being a run blocker, but he is maybe a more explosive playmaker.
Sure. I think you hear about Fant being willing. Like, I think there is something to, you don't come out of Iowa without being able to block. Like, it's just, if you're going to be on the field at Iowa, you got to be able to help him in the run game. And so I think Hockenson may be superlative at it, right? And that may be the difference between the two of them. Like, Hockenson may just be great as far as giving you help in the run game. And Fant may be good.
Or acceptable.
Right. Like, Fant may be fine, giving you that. And he may be the more dynamic receiver. So if they went either way with those guys, if tight end was what they identified as what they want to do with that pick, wouldn't be surprised by either one of them.
All right, got a few new mocks fresh out in the last 24 hours. We'll see who the Jags are going with in the minds of those particular scribes. And we'll continue to leave the phone lines open if you want to weigh in, as well as on the text line driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. This one says, Telvin will be traded on draft day, guaranteed. Okay. I don't know that you could guarantee that, but that's your opinion. And you may end up being right. We'll find out. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I feel, if you watched ESPN yesterday, Tone, Kiper and McShay were on all day. Like, they did that dueling mock draft where they go back and forth on every pick.
Yeah.
Like, so you're kind of beholden to what the other guy takes. And then they replayed it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, enough already. You know, Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams, Devin White. If I never hear those five names in that order again, I'd be okay.
Yeah. And then they had, like, draft profile stuff on.
Yeah.
Last night,
oh,
I think, because it wasn't, like, ESPN's turn to have the NBA playoffs. I think they got games tonight.
So they went those five picks in order, and then Kuiper had the Giants taking Dwayne Haskins. He says, if I'm the GM, I'm taking a quarterback here.
Okay.
All right. That's good. Do you think that's what's going to happen? I don't know. But regardless, I don't think the Giants are taking T.J. Hockenson with Evan Engram on board. So in this, McShay had T.J. Hockenson as a pick for the Jags. Said it could have taken Juwan Taylor, but bottom line, Hockenson is a big, fast playmaker. Nick Foles and the Jaguars need them. Only the Cardinals were worse on offense in 2018. Somebody, I think on the text line, said something about do you think people would be disappointed? Maybe it was on Twitter. Do you think people would be disappointed if Hockenson is picked? I don't think people would be disappointed at all.
No.
You know? Let's see. I'll just skip ahead to the next few picks. They went three rounds deep on this thing. Kuiper picked Dalton Risner, offensive tackle out of Kansas State in the second round. Since McShay skipped over Jacksonville's needed O-line in round one, I'll address it here. Risner could start from day one at right tackle. Damn sure hope so, if you're taking him in the top 40 picks, right? I mean, seriously. Does whoever they take at the top of the second round have to start for this football team? See, have to is a pretty strong thing. But
it's a strong word, yeah.
But I tell you what, man. I mean, it's not like, you know, DJ Chark wasn't that high a pick, but not that far off, and he was nowhere near. I mean, hell, Taven Bryan was nowhere near that.
I think
he
it
was
depends.
The first.
I think it depends. Like, I have no problem with them taking a defensive lineman at seven. That doesn't necessarily mean I think whatever defensive lineman they take at seven
True,
is starting, right?
Because so, of the makeup of the position.
Right. So if they waited and they took a defensive lineman at the
All
top
right.
of round two,
but
no.
If they take an O-lineman
if,
or
an
a O-lineman, tight end.
O-lineman, tight end, I would expect to be
has
a starter.
Has to start.
Yeah.
Has to start.
Absolutely.
Or otherwise, what are you doing? Let's see. Jags 69th pick, Deontay Thompson, safety out of Alabama. Well, you know these guys love the safety for the Jaguars. But I don't mind it as much in round three. And Deontay Thompson at one point was talked about as a top 15 type pick.
He was,
you know,
yeah.
in the process. Sean Gibson's gone. Thompson plays with range and can make plays on the ball. Hey, that's kind of the definition of playing free safety. And then finally, what did they go with here? Oh, actually, they might have gone deeper than that. Trevion Williams. This is interesting because in this scenario, Kuiper had the pick at number 98. This is their second, third rounder, the 98th pick overall. He takes Trevion Williams, running back out of Texas A&M. He says this is a sneaky need because I don't think Tom Coughlin and company are married to Leonard Fournette long-term. Williams is a different kind of back who'll help Nick Foles in the passing game. One pick later, David Montgomery, running back out of Iowa State, goes to the L.A. Rams. Look, we're not tape graders here, but based on everything I've heard about all these guys, if you're not going to pick a guy like Josh Jacobs high enough, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders – you know, then or wait a little longer, a guy like Justice Hill. I'm not saying Trevion Williams would be a bad pick. I just think wouldn't necessarily like him over David Montgomery.
No, right there with you.
Point. So that's what you got for that. And then the Ringer, they have actually a really cool layout. It looks nice.
Yeah.
On their mock draft. Kyler Murray. Quinnen Williams goes second. Hooray, it's something different. Nick Bosa then goes third. Josh Allen. Ed Oliver to the Bucs. In this one.
Okay.
Jonah Williams to the Giants at number six. So they're thinking a little outside the box
yeah.
here. And then the Jags take Montez Sweat, according to the Ringer. I mean, it could happen, you know.
Yeah.
High cut defensive end who knows how to use his Mr. Fantastic wingspan and extraordinary explosiveness to beat blocks. You see Byron Murphy, a corner here, going to the Detroit Lions. I don't get the sense any corner's going in the top 10 right now.
No, not the way that they're talking about those corners right now. We're a week out. We were talking Ed Oliver's the guy that I want for the Jags there at number seven right now. Honestly, here we are less than a week out from the first round of the draft. If I were to tell you my guess as to which position they're going to address with seven, if you just put defensive linemen in a group, I think the odds are that it goes defensive lineman, offensive lineman, tight end. Like, I think it's in that order, too, because I think the value in this draft is on the defensive line, and it's not like they can't use it, and they can – I get it. They're not great at right tackle, certainly. They might not even be good at right tackle right now. We have no idea. And they're not great at tight end, but I think they're okay at tight end. I think if I had to rank them in odds of – in order of the odds that I think they would address that group, I would go defensive line, offensive line, tight end right now.
Somebody on the text line – commenting on what we were talking about with the Jaguars cornerback group, they refer to the secondary. They said the Vikings are the only team that has a better collective secondary. You know, there may be several teams that have a better collective secondary because the Jags have a lot of unproven players or just have unproven players for the most part at
sure.
safety. But, you know, in terms of cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, very good. Is that better than Ramsey and Boye? I don't think it is. I think they're comparable. They're in the ballpark, but, you know, you have Harrison Smith as one of your safeties back there. He's one of the
sure.
best in the league. Yeah, I could believe that there may be, you know, without going through every roster, a few teams out there that have a better overall secondary than the Jags. Linebacker, defensive end, it doesn't matter. Best defensive player in the draft at number seven. Another one, these are all on the text line. Am I the only one that thinks Devin White is a significant amount better than Devin Bush? No, I don't think you are.
No.
A lot of people think that that is the case.
I think that's the general consensus among people. It's that Devin White is better than Devin Bush.
Definitely that he's better, but he's saying a lot better, considerably better.
I don't know. Like, and honestly, tight end or linebacker is such a low priority to me for
right.
the Jags to address it that I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to how they talk about White v. Bush.
But again, you take, though, Devin White, who is seen as just about as clean a prospect. And by as clean, there's never a a foolproof prospect.
Yeah, generally speaking, the highest ranked middle linebacker is going to be
considered very safe,
like the cleanest prospect in a draft.
Who's the guy that went to Seattle a few years ago? Went with the fourth pick.
Yeah,
it's more than a few years now. This is going back like 15 years.
What was his name?
Remember,
out of Wake Forest, right?
Was it Wake?
I thought it was.
Was the last name Banks? Maybe
no.
He went to Seattle. He went to then ended up playing for Oakland a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
Right, and he went number four overall, and everyone said, "Oh, he's the
Aaron Curry."
Aaron Curry, that was that it?
Yeah,
it was Aaron Curry. Okay, everyone said he is the safest pick in the draft. Well, no, he wasn't. Right, I mean, that's the thing, that there's no one who's perfectly safe as far as that goes. Here's one talking about amenities with the stadium, you know, refurbishing the stadium. A lot of that, you know, was talked about yesterday. In the last, 30 years, the Jags Stadium, Buffalo Stadium, the only ones that haven't had at least a $300 million remodel. This guy is a little pie in the sky. Built a glass platform all the way across the top of the stadium, then a dome above that.
Okay.
The glass platform can have seating or standing so people can look down and watch a game from above. It would be wild. Yes, it would.
That would be wild.
It would be wild.
That would be a thinking outside the box idea.
Yes.
Come watch the game from the scaffolding.
Thank you on the text line also who sent in Aaron Curry. Gosh, that was, I bet that, what year was that?
2009, I think.
Is that it?
Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah, 2009.
Gosh. Almost felt like we were not, like 1010XL wasn't around at the time of Aaron Curry when he came out.
Yeah, 2009.
All right, we'll come back. We'll take a look at some of the responses you gave us. Well, I think we covered most of our bases as far as that goes. If put it this way, if there's a name that we didn't mention today that the Jags pick at number 7, my jaw will probably be on the floor. Right?
What is happening?
I just can't imagine. I mean, because even if it's anybody else that you haven't mentioned, you're like, you know, you could trade down, and people always say, well, you know, you have to have a trade-up partner. Well, you can make it attractive enough that any team is willing to trade up if you're willing to take far less compensation. If you feel like we're going to get this guy for sure at 15 and Washington wants to come up and get a quarterback and we'll take X, whatever X happens to be, which is far below market value, and A, we'll get the player we really want and we'll pay him less than we would have if we drafted him 7th overall, you could make that happen if you wanted to. Anyway. We'll take a time out here, return in the moment, wrap things up for the week, heading into Easter weekend. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jerry Kramer, Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer. Has a nice ring, doesn't it? And you are listening to Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, what you got going on this weekend, by the way? Anything good?
Easter plans with the family.
Me too.
On Sunday, and not a whole lot outside of that.
Me either. Feet up. Relax. I will not be in on Monday. Hopefully, I'll be here on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday is the media mock draft.
Media mock draft, yeah.
Trust me, I wouldn't miss the media mock draft.
We got to ask Hacker when we see him how many years we've been doing it.
I think
he'll remember. I don't
now.
Remember.
I think it's 15.
I know we're in the teens.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. Hickens picking. That's what we got, right? Hicken for the Jags. Who's he going to take? Juwan Taylor? Is he going to go safe? Don't go off the board. I hope he goes at least with one of the, you know, the regular guys. You always worry that somebody's going to throw a pick in there that you're like, really?
Yeah, really wild. Throw it off.
Lem Barney, Hall of Fame corner 1 year for the Lions. We had him selecting for Detroit. It's like, I don't know who they're going to take. Like Lem.
And Lem.
You understand what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Like you're going to pick a player.
We're doing a mock draft, buddy. I mean, we'll
I don't know.
You on some other time and talk about the playing career.
Right, which was fantastic.
Being a Hall of Famer. Like, it's awesome stuff, man. Not trying to take any of that away from you. We got 2 minutes with you.
I don't know who they're going to take.
The Lions take.
And then I think he ended up saying they'll take whoever the highest rated running back was.
Yeah.
And they ended up taking Kevin Jones that year, but
they
I think
did.
In round two, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Something like that. So I think we actually gave him Kevin Jones for the pick. So he sort of backed his way into that one. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll cover the first 16 selections on Tuesday. And then XL Primetime will pick up after a brief intermission with pick 17 through 32. And all it is, you get a local reporter's feel a couple days before the draft. That are they going to be right? Who knows? Very few get them right once you get outside the top 10 because other people have screwed up picks. You know what I mean? You don't know who's available, who's not available. Again, we mention every year, Jim Wyatt had the best pull probably of anybody. The year the Titans took Chris Johnson.
Yep.
Nobody was talking about him as a first-round pick at that point. And he's like, I'm just telling you, they love this Chris Johnson kid. So I'm going to take him. I know it might be a little early, but I'm going to take him. And that's exactly – that may be the latest pick that we've ever had anybody hit.
Yeah.
Close to it. I mean, seriously, it's really
tough. Chris
was
like 29 or something, wasn't he?
I don't want to say like in the early 20s.
Yeah. Well,
something between 20 and 25 is my guess. You got it?
I'm pulling it up.
All right. You just don't know. The year that the Jags selected Tyson Alualu, the Saints.
24.
24, okay.
The Saints. Pretty late. 24 is pretty late.
The Saints correspondent was picking 31st that year, or were they the Super Bowl champs? Might have been the Super Bowl champs.
I think they were coming off the title.
It must have been, because I can't remember a time back then when they lost the Super Bowl and they'd had the 31st pick. And, you know, the guy who was picking for the Saints didn't really pay great attention.
Yep.
And he picked somebody who was already off the board, and we're like, we just went, you know, I know probably Donna at the time went through all the picks with you. Pay attention. Yeah, all right, who's that guy from Cal? Alualu, whatever. And we're like, huh?
Who?
What? Who? All right, sure. Picking him with the last pick of round one? Why not? And then that night.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's the day Hacker became a Denver Bronco fan.
It was.
As I recall. You know, because they.
At least temporarily.
Because they selected Tim Tebow instead of the Jaguars.
They did.
He turned his back on the franchise back then. He hates that I bring it up, but. It happened. Hacker's the biggest bandwagon jumping fan I've ever known in my life. Honest to goodness. He really is. He jumps all over the place. I'll give him credit. Probably the Orlando Magic is the only one he's ever stuck with.
The Magic he's serious about, yes. For sure.
Anything.
He lost his beloved Lightning this week to a sweep.
His beloved Lightning. Give me a break.
It has begun.
All right. Ah, boy. That's that training camp. All right. That was his training camp ritual.
That was,
it
yeah.
It has begun.
Yeah.
He said he would go out at midnight.
He would do it.
On the first
yeah,
day of camp.
He would do it for the start of free agency. Like he had different times of the year, he would do it. It was the start of free agency, and then it was for the first day of training camp.
And you just walk outside the front door, and
it has begun. Yes.
Gosh, miss those days. Not really.
People don't know how funny Hacker is, man. Hacker's so funny.
I don't know. The funny. You know, they're different definitions of funny. 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 Yeah. E.T., man, oh, gosh.
E.T. can't handle the Hacker
impersonation. He can't handle the stories either. Yeah. So many good stories. We've worked with Hacker for a freaking long time.
Long time.
Long. 15 years. Probably. That one I'm probably right. I might have been wrong on Aaron Curry with 15 years. I think we worked with Hacker for about 15 years in some shape or form.
Yeah.
And you can hear him in the back. He's just belly laughing in there right now just thinking of it. Tremendous.
He's got that weird thing for dates. Like, if Hacker came in here, we could ask him, like, when did you start working with him? He would know the day. He'll know the day if he is the one who comes in for crosstalk.
Yeah,
he'll be able to tell us how long we've been doing the media mock draft.
We'll see.
I'm very confident in both of those.
You think so?
I am.
Think he'll have the year?
I think he will.
All right. So what would that be? 2004 then would make it 15 years?
Something like that. Yeah.
All right. This from Pro Football Talk on Tyreek Hill. Speculating that he's already done enough to get a suspension under the personal conduct policy. Your feelings about Mike Florio notwithstanding, Florio is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he was a practicing lawyer for years, even after he started Pro Football Talk. And then he finally gave it up when PFT became so lucrative. But the fact that they removed the 3-year-old son from Hill and the boy's mother's custody, he says couldn't have happened quickly or easily. It's an extreme outcome that occurs only when a judge orders it, and it occurs only when a judge has determined that the child's environment is sufficiently unsafe to justify removing that child from the home and placing the child elsewhere. Even if Hill himself did not commit an act of child abuse against his 3-year-old son, he's a key member of a household deemed by a judge to be unfit to care for the boy, and that then is how the potentially significant problem comes into play. The list of behaviors in the personal conduct policy that can result in discipline include, quote, conduct that poses a genuine danger to the safety and well-being of another person, end quote. So, yeah, you know, now you can make the case, I'm sure his representatives would, that it's the mom. I mean, what other case would there to be made other than it's the mom and none of this is me and it's her? And the reason we brought, look, first of all, it's heinous, right?
Yeah.
You abuse a kid who's three.
And it's apparently serious enough within the household that a judge has decided he needs to be removed.
Kid's gotta
from
the
house.
Out of there. Right. The kid's not safe to be in that house. So, I mean, it's horrible. So that obviously takes precedence, but we're a sports show and the Jags play the Chiefs week one.
There's
a more than bare minimum chance that Tyreek Hill's not suiting up for that game when they come to Jacksonville. So
certainly seems that way.
They already took their best, Chris Connolly. So.
And my guess is that if he is suiting up, it's because he's appealing the decision.
Could be. But you would, I mean,
but
possible.
I don't know when that decision is going to come down. It's the timing of this, who knows?
Right. Right. I mean, that's how Ezekiel Elliott went, right?
Yeah, and the league gears turn slow. I just wonder because of, and I don't think the issues that Tyreek Hill had coming into the league are insignificant from a league perspective with this one, too. It's you have more than one incident with him with these kind of domestic situations, and the way the league seems to be, they seem to be ahead of this one more than they have been with different issues in the past, including the Ezekiel Elliott one. I'm not sure. Usually they let the legal proceedings, whatever they're going to be, play out. I wouldn't be stunned if they don't necessarily with this one. If they say, you're going to sit down until we figure out exactly what we want to do with this, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Because of the ugly nature.
Yeah.
Of it. Who knows? I mean, look, it's, his availability for week one is insignificant compared to the safety of a three-year-old
Absolutely.
Child.
Absolutely.
However, now that that's stated, it's still something that you have to look at.
Yep.
For whatever reason. You know, put it this way. Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing week one for any reason. Wouldn't you feel better about going against Chad Henne?
Oh, yeah.
Chad Henne couldn't blame Garrettus, could he? Would that be worse? Seriously? Like, if Mahomes had a one-week injury, he twisted his ankle in training camp, he's going to be back for week two.
Would that be worse than Arizona beating him?
Would that be worse than, yeah, Blaine Gabbert leading Chad Henne, opening a season
against
the Jags on the road?
I think so.
Be terrible.
I think at home with Nick Foles, that being his first game in a Jags uniform. Against this defense, yeah. I think Chad Henne beating him would be worse.
Oh, be miserable. I mean, Blaine Gabbert's so much more talented than Chad Henne.
Yes.
It doesn't mean either one is a good quarterback. All right, picks that we got in today on Twitter, Tony. Any other than the names we've mentioned already, I don't know if there is anything we haven't covered.
Yeah, not a whole lot that we haven't covered. We got a lot of votes for Devin White in there this morning. Brian Burns, probably the second most popular guy being mentioned. It was interesting. David said that we have raised his interest in Dillard at left tackle over the last couple of days, but said his out of left field would be Devin Bush, the linebacker. The Dillard thing, we really did start talking about it seriously earlier this week when we saw the ESPN article talking about, you know, guys that are future Pro Bowlers.
Right, and you do see him mocked in the top 10. Not across the board, but certainly, he never gets past Houston with their first pick, but generally comes off the board well before that.
Yeah. A.J. Brown, the Ole Miss wide receiver, got mentioned. Woo.
That would be...
Holy cow.
Very surprising.
Yeah, that would be stunning, would be the word for that one. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson, Bill mentioned. While they took a similar player last year in Taven Bryan, they still don't know what they're getting from him. Wilkins would allow them to continue to rotate players along the defensive line. Let's see here. Hakeem Butler, again, another wide receiver getting mentioned. He's a guy that will be drafted much higher than he's projected. I don't know about seventh, but hey.
Hakeem Butler, oof.
That's off the radar. That would certainly be off the radar.
I can see him sneaking into the first round. You know, I think wide receiver is going to be, depending on, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Sure. Noah Fant getting some love on there. Dexter Lawrence, another vote there. Burns, Christian Wilkins. Let's see. Anybody else that we haven't mentioned yet? Nope, that's the end of the list of the guys we haven't mentioned yet. So,
all right.
DK Metcalf got mentioned a couple times. But, again, wide receiver guys, just, whoa.
Yeah.
That's not even off the radar. Like, that's beyond the radar scope to
me. Saw a story at SportsIllustratedSI.com. And a guy was looking at some of the prop bets that you can bet on in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Some of his favorites. And DK Metcalf not being the first wide receiver taken was one of his favorite ones. I think he said Marquise Brown. He said like a week ago you could get Marquise Brown at like plus 900, which is crazy good. Now he's like plus 270, and DK Metcalf is still the favorite. He's like minus 170. So you got to bet. I guess that means you got to bet 170 to win 100. I think it's how that works, right? You got to bet 100 to win 270 if you're picking Marquise Brown. And you know, just based on people that this person had talked to, thought that, you know, these are obviously, none of them are locks. They're bets. They're gambles. But
sure,
it's a pretty interesting article. You can find it at SI.com. Some of the favorite prop bets dealing with the 2019.
If the Jags were going wide receiver, would you rather him draft Marquise Brown or DK Metcalf?
I mean, Marquise Brown's so much more productive. So
yes,
much more productive.
Way more productive.
I guess that would be my aunt, right? I mean, like,
I'd take Brown.
I don't think that just, it's not happening with either.
Oh, that's not happening. It's just, I was just asking that, but if they were going to be in on a receiver, which one would you rather them take?
I'd love to have a crystal ball and know what DJ Chark is going to do for them this year.
I hear you on that. Yeah. You
know? Although Chris Conley is not, I wouldn't say he's not like a thick receiver, but he's a pretty tall receiver, you know, a rangy kind of guy.
Yeah.
They need some of that.
He's a lower profile DJ Chark.
Yeah, because Westbrook and Marquise Lee, and if you get anything out of Keelan Cole, they're not, you know, huge physical players.
Yeah.
And that's an understatement. All right, let's check in with a former huge physical player with XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
You know, after that introduction, I'm sure, Tony, people were expecting a hacker who donned the pads at the Wolf Den back in the day, but instead we've got the other physical presence.
Hey, Hacker was a JV great, baby.
He was. Donned the pads, baby, is what he did. And Does he do this when he talks about it?
He slaps himself on the shoulder. Actually, he does.
Always has, as long as we've known him, Leon. What you got coming up today? What you doing? What you digging into?
Well, you know, we're going to talk a little Tom Coughlin. You know, he may have violated the CBA when he talked about guys 100%.
No doubt.
Because they're supposed to be voluntary.
Well, Tom Coughlin, in 2004 with the Giants, had two OTA practices taken away from him because he was trying to push the boundaries of the rules. He was compelling players to show up and eat breakfast together, which seems silly, and then there was the whole thing about him talking about you're not on time if you're on time. You're only on time if you're early, and you're only on time if you're early enough. And he got two practices taken away.
Well, listen, he used to fine guys. He used to come in the meetings 5 minutes early, and if you came in after him, you got fined. It was ridiculous here.
That is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I don't think that would fly in today's NFL.
Definitely.
And people, look, I'm not even saying I totally understand his point of view. I think majority of fans probably even agree with his point of view. But when Tom said, to me, when he said, this is not about rights or privileges, it's about obligations. It's exactly about rights and privileges. These guys have rights and privileges under the collective bargaining agreement. And you, no matter how old school you want to be, cannot just decide to not allow them to enforce those.
Well, you know, back in the day, Tom coined it voluntary mandatory.
Uh-huh.
That was the coin phrase.
Right. If he had said that yesterday, I think for sure.
If he had ever called you out publicly. Like, because I've heard you talking about this week, you know, when you got signed here and weren't here for the beginning of the voluntary portion of the offseason. If he had called you out publicly in that kind of place, how different would the conversation have been?
Well, with today's social media,
yeah,
I probably would have, knowing me back then, I probably would have tapped back. Because if I knew I didn't have to go and he's trying to make me go, then I would have said something.
Right. Leon, have a great show today, man.
All right, great.
All right,
appreciate
along with Hacker. Slap those, don those pads. And Joe C. And, of course, Matt Hayes. It's XL Prime Time coming up. Tony, probably have Oj in on Monday is my guess. I will hopefully be back on Tuesday. Media mock draft on Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll be here together. And then I'll be flying up to Nashville on Thursday morning. Your birthplace.
We're inside a week.
We are, finally. Honestly, I'm ready for it to be a week from next Monday. Come back. All the picks done.
Everything's done.
Let's talk about actual players now instead of who the speculation. You know, it's the same thing every year. Love the draft, hate the draft. It's just the way it is. You know, it's just that's how I am. So, all right, thank you for listening to Jaguars today. As always, that'll do it for us. Stick around. XL Primetime coming up for the next 3 hours. So for Fat Tony, for ET, and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Have a wonderful, wonderful Easter weekend from everybody here at Jaguars today. Talk to you Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...